people like Jeff Reynolds. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Hey, Jeff.
Who has been a loyal listener from the time that he was going through Rockaway Beach, listening to the program years ago. So when you go back and look at the history that was in this newsletter, and I want to thank Krista for doing that.
She did a great job.
For Corinne and Krista, Corinne and Sheila, mm-hmm. and then you, Keith.
And me.
It has been a part of my morning for almost 27 years.
Oh, man.
Jeff Reynolds has been a part of my morning for many years. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Keith. Thank you, Charlie. Actually, I've been listening whenever I used to drive the mail truck route.
Oh.
Yeah, the bulk mail. I picked it up in Springfield. My dad did that. Actually, my uncle did that. It was 94, and my dad did it, and we'd pick up the mail and drive it to Highlandville, Spokane, Rockaway, Forsyth, Taneyville, and Bradleyville. And, of course, you're listening, looking up for talk radio in the morning, and you guys were on. It's been 22 years I've been listening to you guys, and so it's an honor to help be a sponsor now, and I've been so fortunate to listen. My kids grew up listening to you every time when I'm taking them to school, starting from Justice to Israel, Zoe, and Judah now. So
you came up with some interesting names for your kids.
They're good homeschool names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Israel,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good.
And we got Judah and our cat. We had to keep the same theme, so his name is Shofar.
Shofar, the cat. Hey, give me the first line.
The first line of...
That you say.
The first line on the sponsorship?
Yeah.
I love the Ozarks. I love the hills, the creeks, and especially the people.
See, that's the guy. If you're sitting there saying, who is this guy? When you hear those lines, you know exactly who I'm talking about.
Jeff, I got a lot of places to go, so I want to start in the very beginning and probably find some stuff that I don't know. I have the opportunity.
Did you know his uncle was the bulk mail guy, too?
Oh, my goodness. I knew him when he was working for Abraham Lincoln.
Actually, we've been here five generations. My great-great-grandfather was John James Reynolds, who was the county commissioner in the 1870s, 1880s, that was responsible for driving out the Bald Knobbers. And we're not talking about the country music group down the street.
No. The Vigilante group.
Yes.
Huh.
Well, my family was with the Bald Knobbers.
You were the Bald Knobbers.
And they sent us over to Sykeston. I want to start from the beginning, but I want to get some clarification out of the way, Keith, because I think, you know, in radio when they says I got to give you a full disclaimer.
Right, full disclosure,
We know the Reynolds family very well.
Yes.
Why would we know them very well? Well, first of all, after 22 years of listening, Jeff and I have had many, many interesting conversations. Ministry Heart, doing things for the station, with the station, and for the community.
Right.
But he has a son, Israel.
Right.
I have a granddaughter, Macy.
Yes.
And they've been friends for a fairly long time. They're both in college together.
All right.
Went through School of the Ozarks together. They hang out a lot together. I'll leave it there.
Okay.
Are they boyfriend and girlfriend? You'll have to ask them. Okay? Are they engaged? You have to know. I don't know any of that. They're just very good friends that uplift each other, and they're good, fundamental young people with a Christian foundation. And from Grandpa's standpoint, I say thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Jeff?
Yeah, I would say they're a little bit more than friends. I don't look at my friends like they look at each other, right?
Well, I'll let Dad say that, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Jeff, I want to go back to the beginning for you and give us some history and bring us up to speed from a standpoint of your own life. Went to school. It's kind of, it's better if I do this. Keith?
Yes?
Take it from there.
Well, Jeff, the reason he threw it to me is because when we have guests here, and you have been a guest here before, but we ask guests where they're born, grew up, tell us about your faith journey. So let's go back to the beginning. You already mentioned that you have a long history, five generations in our area, but let's just start with you particularly.
Yeah, absolutely, Keith. I grew up in Taneyville. I just shared, was asked to come speak at our eighth grade graduation for Taneyville.
Wow.
And I got to share with those students graduating back in 1988. And I shared with them a little bit of my story. And growing up there, I grew up First Baptist Church, Forsyth, fantastic church. And it was actually June 2nd, 1992. I grew up in church, but I knew the Lord, but I really wasn't following him on a day-to-day basis. And if you'd ask me the right questions, I'd give you the right answers, and I believed I did ask Jesus into my heart. But you know, that's Monday through Saturday, I was more living for me. And I started reading some different books. My brother gave me a book by Dale E. Galloway called Dare to Discipline Yourself. And I always had trouble having discipline in my life. And any rate, it wasn't until I started reading that the scripture is not just about just simply theology. It's about everyday life. And on that Sunday, I believe it was John Potter was the pastor. He came up from Second Baptist Church at the time and would preach. And I went down forward and made Jesus what I would say is the Lord of my life. I said, hey, you're my Savior. I want to give you all my life. And that changed the trajectory of my life. And I got pretty radical at the time. I mean, I like had all kinds of tapes and that I burned. You know, in Taney County, we have burn barrels. So no one ever told me to burn them, but I burned them. Uh-huh. And I just got very, very radical serving the Lord and ended up going to Bible school, felt a call to ministry.
Where'd you go?
It was a little Bible school out of Springfield called World Vision School of Missions. They're okay. No longer there. And but that's where I met my wife of 25 years.
You know, I want to interject something, Jeff. It's so neat as you unpack this story and this account. It's your account. It's not just a story. But you said something that I don't want anybody to gloss over, because that is where you could be. Jeff said it. It was in my own life. I am sure I asked Jesus into my heart. I get it as a young person. But I'd been saved 141 times. Every time it's kumbaya on a fire to campfire, I'm there. Till you did what you did, and you nailed it down, and you can say as you did date-wise, on this date, at this time, I did this. Tell somebody that's been struggling with that why that's important.
I think it's, as far as just making that decision, we're always making decisions little by little each day. And then there's some bigger decisions in our life. And I remember where I was at eight. I mean, I don't remember the year or the time, sure. But I was around 8 years old underneath a tree in my front yard where I asked Jesus into my heart. And that started a relationship there that was important. But and I was making little decisions along the way to read a book, to go to, you know, to this meeting or that. But that catalyst of saying, on this day, I'm going to really live for the Lord. And that change, you know, a commitment is the elimination of options. And when you make a commitment to do something, you're saying, I'm going to say no to a whole bunch of other things. And whenever I made that commitment, I started saying no to a whole bunch of other things in my life. And it made it simpler, clearer, and it's set the trajectory for my life, from the person I was going to marry to what I was going to do or not do.
Give me the name of that Bible school you went to again.
World Vision School of Missions.
Keith, are you familiar with it?
I was not.
And what year did you go to Springfield?
I was in Springfield from 74 to 87.
Yeah, this is past 87. So really? 98 okay. In the mid 2000s. It was in the 90s to 2000.
And who
so.
Did that school? I mean,
actually, the dean of the school just retired up here. You know, this is a place where a lot of pastors retire,
sure.
Right?
Sure.
His name is Denny Funderburg, just a dear pastor, and he was also the dean of the school. And
wow.
Very, very small school. From there, I went to work actually for the Salvation Army. And
really?
What'd
yeah.
you do for them?
So I think one of your neighbors, Jim Snell, I don't know if they're still living over in Cozy Cove, but he was the director of the Harbor House at the time, and which is a halfway house basically for men. And I taught a life skills class there. I developed a life skills program and taught a life skills class, and then actually worked checking guys in. And at the same time was bivocational, had a window cleaning business, was driving mail truck and doing all this stuff. And so, and then we started the ministry using extreme sports to reach troubled teens,
right.
And did that for close to 8 years.
I think that's probably what you were doing the first time I met you here.
Yeah, absolutely.
You were talking about skateboarding and that kind of thing.
And then I was doing a lot of marketing for that, and so I had some other businesses go, hey, you're doing good marketing for what you're doing in ministry. Can you help us? And nonprofit is what nonprofit is, so we kept having more kids. We got six total, so I started doing marketing, dovetailed out of the nonprofit, ended up doing work for Jim Robertson, one of the owners of Keller Williams, and he sponsored the show for many years. Just a dear friend, forever thankful to him for helping me transitioning into the real estate business. So very thankful. And now it's been 10 years, very, very thankful. And the dovetail to Salvation Army, I actually serve on the Salvation Army board. And so what a great organization. Steve Robertson is doing a great job here.
Him and his wife both have become good friends from the time he first sat here. And when I said, he said Hannibal, I said Palmyra. And that is like saying Forsyth, Ozark, I mean, all in the same region.
Yeah, sure.
And so, and he played football for a guy that I played football with, only guy that I know that went to college to play football. His name is John Bringer. And when you have a hometown, just like you're talking about your generations of your family, when you have somebody that knows your family, my wife Mary's cousin is the fire chief in Hannibal, which when you were with the Salvation Army or live there, you know a lot of those people. But I saw you the other day at an auction.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You know, and you're on the board. And I appreciate the effort and the time that you spent on something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for coming and doing that. That was a great help.
It's fun.
We got taken care of. Appreciate it. Thanks to you.
And thanks to Rick Finley.
Yeah, Rick Finley. You know, shout out. My math teacher growing up.
Can you believe it?
Really? Rick was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, but when he's a coach on third base and you say, "Strike three!" Well, he'd come down that line and say, "That was a terrible call." It might have been, but your kid's out. Okay, simple as that.
That's it.
But Rick and I have become great friends, and when I needed some help, he's a real professional. I love to do it as a hobby. But he has done it as a business for years, his auction company. And it's so good to have somebody like that as kind of a person walking alongside
him. I have a lot of clients that have used him. And I was very fortunate, you know, things come full circle. Growing up in Taneyville and Forsyth, my shop teacher gave me a call the other day. His name is Bob Sell. He's 90 years old.
My.
And he gave me a phone call. He said, acted like I haven't. And he was my Sunday school teacher.
Sure.
And it was like 30 years hadn't passed. He's like, "Jeff, yeah. I'm here at my house. Yeah. Can you come over?" I said, "Well, I'm actually at my folks' farm in Taneyville. I can come over." Came over and helped him get his house sold. But Rick was their auctioneer and was just a tremendous help to him. And Rick Finley used to do backflips in class.
Backflips?
Literal backflips. Yeah.
Really?
Ozzie Smith type.
Yes.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah. I wrote something down here that I want to go back and mention.
I don't know what that has to do with shop, but...
I'll tell you what it is. It gets the attention of a young person. Keith, I'll tell you what
you do.
Oh,
he wasn't a shop guy, though. He was math, right?
Finley he was math. Math. He was math. I'm sorry. Dovetailed my shop teacher.
Shop
teacher didn't do backflips.
Yeah,
I assure you
that. Math teacher doing backflips.
Let me tell you what I want you to do, Keith. I want you to go home and say, "Kathy, I'm going to try this."
Yeah, try this in my living room.
And I want you just to kind of swing your arms over and say, "How do I get my legs
to go
up over my head and land on my feet?" See, I can do it in my mind.
Yeah.
But when you go to physically do it, it's a problem.
I think if I was going to do it, I better give her the phone and have her call 9-1 before I start.
Yeah, just so you have the extra one coming.
Yep.
When you brought up Taneyville, I brought up a name that you might not remember because you were gone, but you might remember because he was doing a fundraiser for Taneyville, and his brother Tim Taylor.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, he was a school superintendent there. And
he left Hollister, yeah.
Yeah, my mom worked for him. My mom was the longest running teacher ever in Taneyville School, 35 years, and really, really liked Tim Taylor.
My heart just hurts right now when I think of Tim Taylor's life being taken in the cause they said was COVID, and his dreams that he had for the school, and he just was a guy who cared about people. And I remember he would call me like Jim called you. He would call me and get insight on different things. "Charlie, what do you think? Charlie, what do you think?" And he trusted my opinion. Some of the things work, some of them don't work, but he trusted where we were trying to go. So, Tim Taylor, to your wife and your family, we miss you. I miss you. And when you went to raise that money to get the gym floor done at Taneyville, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And some people say, "Oh, my goodness, we're in Branson. We have this gym." You know, Taneyville's not Branson. Taneyville is Taneyville. And he did a good job doing that, and I want to thank him for that.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's dovetail into real estate.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Let's do that in a minute.
He's not. Hey,
of course, you're directing the conversation here, Charlie. I should know better than that.
Yeah, let me tell you, that was a way that he would say, "Look, that ain't on my agenda yet, so just be patient."
We'll get there. Because we got all hour, okay? We could cut you off at 8 o'clock and send you out the
hey,
door.
Hey, I know the cut time, so I know the rule, man.
Yeah.
If you
make
o'clock.
It past 8, you right. can call your... Yep. By the way, give us your wife's name and your kid's name again.
Misty, my wife of 25 years. She's an interior designer right. and is doing tremendous. And then I got... I married into two kids, Zach and Alexis, and they're 30 and 27. My daughter Alexis is a police officer. Up in the Rolla area. And then my son, Justice, he went to school in the Ozarks and actually is married, having a baby, and he just joined me in the real estate business.
Wow.
So,
oh, congratulations.
Very honored to have my son join me and just barely getting his feet wet. We got him doing some open houses. We need to get some points on the board for him.
Sure. Though.
That's good.
Now let's walk through these because I am confused, okay? After Justice is who?
Israel, your boy okay. Izzy.
Oh, Izzy.
He loves you giving him hugs.
Yeah, oh, Izzy.
He's a great.
Macy thinks you love him more than you love her.
Well, he's respectful. He is honoring.
Macy's respectful.
Just a minute.
He's getting, honoring.
He's a male role model from a young
okay.
person's All standpoint.
Right. Okay.
And he's the one that helped me with the NBA.
What do you mean he helped you?
Because I hadn't watched the NBA all year long.
Yeah.
So I said, Israel, do me a favor. Izzy, as I call him. Do me a favor. Where are we at in the NBA? You know I don't like LeBron James, so don't concentrate on him much. But tell me what's going on in the finals. And he took about 5 minutes, told me who was in it, who was okay. not. So I could come to the show.
He was your NBA
Absolutely.
Source.
That is correct. Right. And he's a doggone good athlete, too.
Okay.
So then we got Israel.
And then Zoe.
I've heard of Zoe many times.
And Judah.
Judah.
He's our youngest. He's our sixth kid.
Now.
How old is Judah?
He is 15, and they're both Ken Cut Camp. K2
oh,
right
wow.
now.
Oh, wow.
Very, very thankful. Yeah.
Good that's job. Where Max is at, is 2 weeks, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's where he's at. Now, I want to go back to Zoe for a minute, because if I remember right, Israel and Macy had the opportunity to take Zoe to what, Keith?
Sight and Sound.
Oh.
To Esther. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was okay. very nice. She loves Sight and Sound. Matter of fact, imagine. She came home with every video that they have.
Well,
you know when you give your kids money and yep. you go, hey, here's some, yep. but bring back the change.
Hey, but at least she bought something you can watch over and over instead of buying something to eat and it's done. You
know? Absolutely, and it was good stuff, yeah.
Now, your oldest are up in the first ones, Alexis?
Yeah.
Alexa?
Alexis.
Well, she just barely missed it. How would you like to be named Alexa or Echo or something like that years ago? And now we have all these devices. So when somebody hollers the name Alexa, now the item starts talking. So she just got close.
Well, she answers. That's Alexa.
Does she act? He said Alexis.
Well, I have two. So
if you
plural.
Say Alexis, maybe the Alexa will answer.
So she actually goes by Lexi. So,
that's smart. Right.
But we call her Alexis. So that's what she was named. That's what we call her.
I think that's
interesting.
Yeah.
Well, your family is an honorable family. When you had Israel's graduation, we were out in Forsyth.
Yeah, at the venue at Shatterrock.
It was just a fun time. There with people that we'd see that you knew and we knew, and it was neat. Ted Brayfield and I and his wife had the opportunity to sit there together and enjoy our snacks and have a great visit. So let's transition for just a minute, because I didn't know what real estate was except on the farm you bale it, okay, and you work on it, okay? And I know about farms that get sold because my grandfather, Alvy, who was somebody, why, Keith? He owned the John Deere Implement Dealership
right.
in Northeast Missouri.
Yeah, and people up there have John Deere equipment.
Absolutely, Alvy. But when Alvy retired, he started with Warren GC from Monroe City, Missouri, in the real estate business. Because Grandpa took care of people. Now, there are people in the real estate business that you think, are they in it just for a commission? Maybe. Are there people that don't do a very good job in the real estate business? Probably. Are there people that care about people? And Jeff, that's where I see you. You and I have not done a real estate transaction together, but I've seen the transaction that you do. I've seen the exit gifts you've given people. And you care about people. It says it in your sponsorship of Good Morning Ozarks. But let's talk about the business itself. Because my goodness, in my 40 years in this business, it has gone up and down and over and up. And I give you one comment to jump in on. Keith, how much did you say you got out of your house? There is no way that 1,400 square feet sitting where yours is sitting is going to sell for $150,000. And Jeff said, $150? I sold one the other day just like it for $180. Let's talk about this market for just a minute. The volatility, but yet the values and that type of thing, where we sit today.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a lot of stuff that I never would have thought that it would have sold for as much as it is. So, you know, we had the market in 07, 08, and then, of course, the crash. And I got in it was right at the beginning of 14. I was doing some work for Jim Robertson and Keller Williams, doing some marketing for 2 years prior to that. So I saw the market and how slow it was. Absolute buyer's market. And we never thought it would probably ever get more than what it was in 07 at that peak. And until, you know, we started seeing it creep back up back in 17, 18, 19, you know, is kind of incremental. And then what happened in 2020 was just absolutely amazing. And everybody thought it was going to crash. And I had one conversation with a realtor out of Kansas City. And he goes, Jeff, I think we're going to have one of the biggest second halves of 2020 we've ever seen.
But that
really?
Was a COVID year. That was the
pandemic. Was the COVID year. He was the only breath of fresh air that I had heard. Sure enough, that year ended up being a record year. I set a goal. I ended up overshooting that goal, even though we were shut down the first half of the year. But as far as pricing goes on houses, we just never thought that they would jump this much. So you saw a 30% jump, and then 2021 you saw another 30% jump, and then from to the next year is about a 20% jump.
Let's stay there.
That's 80%.
Let's stay there for just a minute. And here's the example I'll give you. We got plenty of time. We'll take the break and we'll continue.
So you're going to keep him?
Oh, got to.
You told me you were going to get rid of him at 8 o'clock. Well, you didn't think he'd make the cut.
His son's Israel.
I know.
He's living by grace.
By grace.
And he understands that term. We've all had the guy that's sitting in his house and he's talking to his neighbor. And his neighbor sold his house and let's call it 1,500 feet and he sold it for 150. Okay, Keith?
Okay.
And the guy looked at his wife and said, let me tell you what. If Herb got $150,000 for that house, we can get $200,000 for ours. His wife said, you're crazy. Well, a realtor comes by and he says, what do you want? Well, you know what? I think $200,000. And the realtor says, you're crazy. Well, what I have learned over the last 2 years, I can't say you're crazy because I don't know what the market is. And all of a sudden, Jeff comes in with a buyer from some state, exactly what they want. He said, I'll give the guy $200,000 for that. How does that work? Where the buyers come from? What's happening? Can you give us a insight into the crystal ball when we come back? Otherwise, Keith, find out where his agency's at, his phone number and all that, and we'll take the break and come back.
All right, Jeff. Keller Williams, how do we find you? How do we find your office and where you're at?
Yeah, Keller Williams is located at 714 State Highway 248, the big Keller Williams building with the name out on the front. And my direct line is 417-840-0186, but we have a lot of great agents.
Let's do that again a little slower.
417-840-0186.
There you go, 0186. All right, and you deal in all kinds of real estate?
I deal in primarily residential investment and land is what I specialize in.
Yeah. Okay. And when is Keller Williams open, 6 days a week, 7 days a week, what?
We're 5 days a week are the official hours open. Of course, real estate agents work on weekends. But, we're fortunate here that a lot of people do business during the week because our hours are a little bit different.
All right. Well,
and don't let me forget, Keith, in your mind up there, write down vacant land, because when we get to that, vacant land's different.
Yeah.
That's where I spent most of my time is in
vacant land.
Yeah. In fact, I've sat on some of my own vacant land. Come back and talk about this more. Jeff Reynolds is our guest this morning. Not only is our guest, he's our friend, he's a sponsor, he's a born-again believer, and he understands that the cross is not foolishness, Mr. Schwarzenegger.
And Jeff, thank you so much for supporting the ministry here at KLFC. We appreciate it. We're going to continue. Good Morning Ozarks, Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram on the 7th day of June, 2023. You stay with us. Thank you for your time at the round table this morning. 60 degrees. Herb will keep us updated on the weather. So stay with us here on Life FM. Welcome to the 8 o'clock half hour of Good Morning Ozarks. Keith O'Neill and Charlie Ingram. If you miss any of our guests today, Jeff Reynolds or any of them, you can go to klfcradio.com and listen to the podcast. And then I found that Spotify is the easiest way to forward it to somebody that you'd like to share a podcast with. It's 8:02 and 60 degrees. Keith and Charlie on Life FM.
Keith, what are you doing after the show?
I'm going to Copy Run, my printing company over on Gretna.
Okay, well,
see if I can print some more stuff.
Said good morning.
Hey,
from
thank
my
you
daughter
for Market Days, by the way, having the trust in us to print stuff. We did.
You were the cheapest.
That's good.
You had some misspelling and some other things, but
now,
hey,
wait a minute, we didn't create it.
That's a good point.
You brought it to us.
Hey, would you or somebody be able to pick up Walmart pickup order?
Pick up at Walmart? Yeah, you just tell me what time and what parking place.
No, we'll get it for you. Keith would be in there with me. So, do y'all ever use pickup groceries?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Good man. We like
now,
that.
You were telling me about a deal that Walmart has for $100 or something.
Yeah.
Some kind of new deal he's trying to pawn.
Well,
I think he's on Walmart's payroll.
No, I tell you, the other day I came home and the groceries were on the counter and Mary picked them up at the front door.
Yeah, but what if Mary hadn't have been home?
She'd have been home because you scheduled the delivery.
Oh, okay.
Keith, it's not like you and me just show up.
It's not ish.
No, it's not. Okay. Jeff Reynolds, our guest this morning. He is a real estate agent. Do you have any other acronyms behind your real estate? Are you a real estate agent? And that's
I don't.
I never did. Broker?
You know, a broker in these days is just a little bit different than what it meant back maybe 30, 40 years ago. Our office, and we house about 120 agents. Keller Williams is the largest real estate company in our area. And we house about 120 agents, and we have a office broker. So that is Deb Mundell. She does a great job. And
she's been with RE/MAX.
Yeah, yeah. She's been in the business since, like, I've been alive,
I think.
But don't quote me on that. You know, we work for ourselves. Each agent is independently, you know, they're owned and they're themselves. But we all hang our hat at a brokerage. So, but there are brokers, you know, that do have their own brokerages like Cole Currier, who does a fantastic job. But as far as the Keller model goes, you know, there's stuff that I go and I go, hey, tell me about this, or, you know, ask about a certain question. But other than that, she doesn't tell us what to do.
Right. In the history of real estate in this market, RE/MAX was a tremendous player for years. In fact, if you want to go to RE/MAX, you can go to RE/MAX. It's where Chick-fil-A was at. Okay?
What?
Yeah. It's where Chick-fil-A's at. That was RE/MAX office.
Well, it was.
Oh, yeah. For years. And Jan James and others were there. And what'd you say?
Next to Casey's?
Yeah, right there.
Oh.
Okay, for years.
I didn't know.
And people have hung their hat and made names for themselves as real estate agents. And so, really, it's like doctors. You kind of pick who you like helping you. And that's what you do. You help people. So let's go back to the guy that said, well, if he can get 150 out of that one,
I'll get you 200 out of this.
And Jeff comes with an offer, full price. Where do these buyers come from?
So I always say if I could have a billboard in another state, it'd be on the interstate in Kansas. We get a lot of California folks, just like you, Keith. Mm-hmm. And Kansas is huge, huge, huge. Oklahoma, Texas, Illinois, Iowa, Nebraska. Do you know anybody from Nebraska?
I know a lot of people.
Yeah, lots of people from Nebraska.
One from O'Neill, Nebraska.
But Minnesota, people, you may not know this yet, but The older you get, the more cold you get. So I don't know. You guys may not hit you guys yet, but so we actually get a lot of people that are just ready, tired of the cold, and they want to get in more of a normal environment.
Yet
and
they still kind of want the four seasons.
Yeah,
they're
right.
Ready to move to Florida or Texas yet?
Yeah,
yeah.
So we see a lot of that, and you know, we've been forever or a long time, you know, fortunate. All the marketing that goes out from the CVB and. You know, dare I say, even the timeshares serve a great purpose in bringing people here, and they've been coming. I just showed some folks yesterday from Colorado, and they said, we've been coming here for 20 years. They know all about Table Rock. They love the lake, and they want to retire here. So they set a goal, 2 years, and in 2 years, they're buying their house now so that they can have everything set in 2 years. But why? Because of the tourism in our area is out there reaching them, because people want, they go where they know. And, you know, you think about the places that you go and you go, hey, I'd like to maybe buy a house there someday. Well, they've been coming here, coming to shows, coming to the lake, coming, going shopping at Christmas time and having those great experiences. And they go, you know, one day when the kids are out and they're not living around here anymore, let's buy a house in Branson.
You know what? And you bring up a great point. When the timeshare business, we used to be vacation ownership, VRBs, all those, right? But the timeshare people that Mary and I have used for years, you get a week at a place and you start to learn it. Like, we've gone to Orlando so many times, it's not my second home, but I know it fairly well. And in the Kissimmee area, more than Orlando.
Right.
But you learn things. So that industry has brought us a lot of people that just love it here. And what do they love? Jeff?
What do they love here?
Yes.
They love the lakes. They love the people. But they the shopping, the environment.
Keep going. You're going to get there. Come on.
They love the radio show in the morning.
No. The values that we have in this community are different than where they're from.
Yep. I say we get the conservative folks from California a lot of times.
Yeah, so, of course we do.
They appreciate that we actually believe in America here. And, it is
now,
refreshing.
But let's go back to California for a minute. Our family, just like yours, Missouri born and bred for years. But here's what happened in the 40s. It might have happened to many people in this region if you're listening to this morning. In the 40s, I was born in 49. But before that would have been my uncle going to California and his sister for what, Keith?
Work. My folks left Alabama in the 40s, headed to California because that's where the work was.
Work and money.
And weather.
And weather.
Yep. Weather was nice. There was space. And there was work, and they all migrated that way.
And believe me, in 70 years, it's changed. But here's one thing that changed. My 1,500-square-foot house for $85,000 in California was $380,000.
Yeah.
And somebody said, no, Charlie, you are really puffing and stretching, Keith.
No, not in this instance. There are houses out there that you talk about $700,000, and you look here and you go, whoa, I could buy the whole block for that.
Correct. So now we throw the question to Jeff. So the person that sold their home and they had a 1,500 square foot home and it was $1 million. That's what they sold it for. They can come to Branson and the guy said, I get $200,000. The guy said, $200,000? You got to be kidding me. I just sold a house not that big, not that nice for X dollars. I'll take it now. Cash on the barrelhead. Talk about that.
So everybody talks about the California buyer or the East or West Coast, somebody that comes in that sold their 1,500 square foot for $1 million, and what we have is nothing. Yes, it is. However, there's a lot of information out there, and we have very sharp buyers that do not want, no matter what position you're in, you don't ever want to give more money for something than what it's worth in that particular market. So we have a lot of educated buyers, which is a good thing. So, yes, they're seeing it differently, but also they're smart with their money. And so usually they're going to come in and they're still going to want to get it at market value. And they're going to usually work with a good realtor that is going to help them understand what a good market value is.
Interrupt you a minute. And so the value of that for me is this. Look, Jeff says it's worth this. Keith says it's worth this, but I think it's worth this. Well, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's just get it appraised and see what the market value is from an appraiser standpoint. Now, we can negotiate and talk about the number after we see it, but let's look on paper at comparables and what they have and get an appraisal.
So you can do that. They're going to go by competitive market analysis, right? So any good real estate agent can run good comps on
right.
it. And they're going to do the same thing an appraiser is going to do. So if you're working with a buyer's agent, which I recommend doing, Then they're
going
to
explain what that means.
Yeah, what's the difference between a buyer's agent and seller's agent? I've heard that term.
Yeah, yeah. So a buyer's agent is somebody that's going to be out there hunting for you, that's representing you, the buyer, and they're open to all the MLS, not just listings that they would have or even their company would have, but they can look at the entirety of everything that's for sale. And they would go in and they would check stuff like this. What are the comps? You know, what is the average days on market? Some of these things, but they represent you. As far as a selling agent goes, listing agent, you represent the seller. Now you can do both, and I do it a fair amount of the time and do it well. But that's what a buyer's agent is. Doesn't cost you anything to have a buyer's agent. They get paid from the seller's side.
Time out. Because what you said is very, very important for people listening about real estate. And I have a hard time doing this, but I have in the past. I like the agent that I'm dealing with that works on both sides. I like that. I like the agent that says we got the buyer and we have the seller and we're working together. Doesn't always work that way. So sometimes I have wanted to be represented. If I'm going to buy a piece of property, I want the buyer's agent representing me.
Right.
And it just makes some things, not all, but some transactions a little bit better when there's a guy in the middle like a Rob Robbins who works in your office.
Yeah, Rob Robbins is fantastic. We're so fortunate to have him.
And I like that deal where he's working for me so that if it's a $400,000 deal and I've offered $375,000 and the buyer, you get the negotiations in a fair and honorable way and you're not putting your agent, because it's a tough position to be in representing both.
Yep, absolutely. So we're very fortunate. We have about the Trilakes Board of Realtors, which I served on the board of that for 3 years. We have a lot of really good agents. There's 420 agents right now. So, just like a lot of times the market gets flooded full of agents. I'd say about 20% produce 80% of the results, the Pareto principle. So, but that top 20%, we got a lot of really good agents that are out there and are good to work with. And one good thing about our market is a lot of us know each other and work well. And there's not games played, but they represent their side. We represent ours. And ultimately, we want a win-win for both clients. But it is nice having somebody that is representing you, that you know, that knows you, and it doesn't cost you any extra. Sometimes people think they can get a better deal by going to the listing agent. That's just simply not the case.
What about commissions?
I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah, we are talking about everything today, Charlie.
Yeah, how does this work commission-wise?
Let me be the odd man out for just a minute, okay? 7% has been the rule for a number of years, and they split it 3.5, 3.5. A lot of agents will go back at 6. I understand that.
I remember that. 6. You I didn't what? Know it went to 7.
Oh, it's been 7 forever.
Really?
So technically, this is we're not supposed to have commissions. So
right. This is a general conversation.
Yeah, general conversation. So there is no specific set. That is if you and I were sitting at a table. Right. So yeah.
But generally, the number out there is between a 5, 6, or 7 in the market for the guy listening today.
Correct.
Okay. And then that split between the agent, the buyer agent, and the selling agent key. So if the guy's 6%, it's 3 and 3. I want to wrap up with one question. I want to go back. Then I want to go to raw land. Somebody's listening today and says, when is the best time? We're thinking of selling. We're going to downsize. We'd like to move to Cozy Cove. Well, good luck, because you just can't seem to find anything in there.
Right.
Okay. So I'm thinking of selling. When is the best time to sell?
Whenever it's good for you to sell. That's when the best time to sell is. People think, winter time's not a good time to sell, but there's less houses out there, so less competition. And I sell houses year round. I can't tell you how many years in a row that I think that I'm going to take off between Christmas and New Year's, and I'm out showing houses, closing deals, writing deals. So, we live in a unique market where people are coming into town to go shopping at that time, and life happens year round. So it's really what works best for you. There isn't you won't get more dollars out of your house if you sell it in June than you do January.
Give the information, because if you say you want a real estate agent you can trust, we have one sitting at the table. He didn't pay us to say this. I'm not doing this because his son-in-law, my son-in-law.
Yeah, your son-in-law. Yeah.
Maybe one of these days.
Maybe.
Right? You know, a good family friendship, but because he can be trusted. And that's what you want. When the guy was, has there been water in the basement? I've never had water in my basement.
And you see the water line, too.
Then did you spill your coffee? Yeah. Because look at the water lines along the way. Well, I'll be.
Oh,
you got to have people you can trust. Yep. Well, there was a problem with the sump pump.
Yeah, the sump pump.
I think there was.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You got to have somebody you can trust and be honest with you. And Jeff is one of those guys. So, Keith, wrap up this portion. Take the break. I want to come back and talk about raw land because it is a separate animal.
Jeff, how do you find the guy like you that you can trust?
A lot of great agents in this area. So, as far as me, Jeff Reynolds, you can go to homesbranson.com if you want to learn more about me, or go to my Facebook page, Jeff Reynolds, Keller Williams Real Estate, or you can give me a call at 417-840-0186.
Very good. All right, Jeff Reynolds is going to stick with us. We're going to talk about vacant land
right
in a moment. Friend of mine bought this land that looked like a hole in the ground. I didn't know what he was going to do with it, and I don't know what he did do with it. But open land is our discussion coming up. And, Jeff, you've had some experience there, right?
Yes. Keith, and before you go there, when we talk about the land.
I didn't point my finger at you.
When we talk about the land, what are the biggest concerns of where the land is located?
Yeah, that has something to do with it.
It is what? Location?
Location, location. Thank we'll you. Be back in a moment on Good Morning Ozarks. We're talking with Jeff Reynolds from Keller Williams. I almost said Jeff Williams from Keller.
Keller Reynolds.
Yeah, Keller Reynolds. Keller Williams and Jeff Reynolds, a great supporter of our ministry here and a good friend to all of us in the room. Jeff, thank you so much for being here this morning. It is a pleasure to just sit down and chat with you. Land around here is, you know, you always hear invest in land because they're not making any more. And we're going to talk about land here in just a second.
So I'll go back to 1991. Moved here from Chicago, and I remember making the plans with our family to move here. And I needed to make a living. I was not independently wealthy. I needed to have income coming. My wife was a stay-at-home mom. I had three kids in school. And so I remember calling Springfield to an employment company and spoke about a six-figure income.
And they said, not here.
Not here. That's changed. It's changed to the point that I don't even know what income is anymore, Keith. It's my own problem, okay? But I know land. And I came to Taney County, and I met a gentleman who was in a partnership with Cozy Cove. And so they hired me to develop it, market it, sell it. And that's why Cozy Cove today has no timeshare. It has no weekly rental. And you can read the documents because I was very, very diligent in the way those were written. You can lease a place for a year at a time. Because I've learned many, many people want to lease before they buy. You stay at a place for a year, you've done something permanently.
Oh, yeah.
Keith, you were in a place at Fall Creek that was different.
Yeah, we had nightly rentals out there, and the resort ran the nightly rental program, and the owners could lease out their units for 30 days or more. And, you know, that was a whole different situation than Cozy's got.
So Cozy Cove, that is the name of the old fishing resort that was there. It was the Cozy Cove Fishing Resort.
Wow.
And if you go all the way to the back, the guy had punched a hole in the back of Lake Taneycomo. Yeah, put a hole in the back of the wall. Said, I'm going to make a free fishing little lake like they do those little trout ponds.
Right.
Never worked. It never worked like a place down south of town to where Darren lives called Oakmont.
Yeah.
Have you sold anything in Oakmont?
I was just in Oakmont yesterday, and I got a house for sale in Oakmont. Oakmont is very interesting. Built in 1965. I just found out the developer, when he developed that, cut all the trees down so everybody would have an equal view of the lake.
Who was the developer?
I don't know, but the CCNRs are like inches thick.
Now, I will tell you, Oakmont is very big, and they sold lots to people in Iowa and California and Germany and wherever, and the lots were 40 to 60 foot wide. What can you build on it? Nothing! But yeah, the guy says, you know what, when you could buy them for a dollar, the taxes or whatever, I'll take five of those and put them together. I'll get this done. And the community itself has accelerated. Cozy Cove was an old fishing resort. I was there when the cabins were still there, when it all got developed, and now you can see what happens. That's what a developer does. That was my strength, to kind of have a vision of what it could be like. So I'm out driving around. I'll give you an example. Do you know where Palace View is at?
Yeah.
Well, I was driving the back way. Keith, you know where Palace View is? Coming the back way?
Yep.
And I saw a sign for sale. It was $5,000 an acre. So I called the gentleman in our community I worked with, who'd been with Empire District Electric, and said, my goodness, this is a bargain. Ah, Charlie, welcome to Taney County. That land ain't worth $1,000 maybe on a good day. Okay. Drove by it. Next time, sold. What? Sold? Yeah. Well, what'd they pay? Well, the guy paid $5,000 for it, and then he sold it for $10,000 or $20,000. Vacant land in the early days of Taney County was like that. On the other side of the lake is what he called it in Hollister. Oh, other side of the lake? Charlie, don't even bring me anything from the other side of the lake, vacant land. But there's land over here I can buy for $1,200 or $1,400 an acre, and we can. No. We never pay that kind of money around here. Mr. Vacant Land Man, that has changed.
That has definitely changed. And I think the person who sees things as they can be, not as they are, is who wins. And you've done that as a developer. And, you know, Cozy Cove is a fantastic development. You did a great job with that. River Bend, you did a fantastic job with that. I know there are other developments. You know, we're in a housing crisis in our area, and we don't have enough housing for the people that are coming here. And that's one thing that's driving the market that right now. But anyway, I just wanted to say thank you. You know, there's other great developers. You got to have a special personality and a special vision to see the land as it can be. And I know that you have that.
Yeah, and after you've been run over 3 or 4 times by the development business, you say, what in the world am I looking at? You used a term earlier, and it was John Redford that did it for me. We were at River Bend. The units are very, very behind Keith's house. Keith's got a beautiful lake view where his house was at.
You can see the lake.
Beautiful places.
In the wintertime.
But when all of the crash hit, John Redford looked at me and said, Charlie, you have enough inventory here to last you 5 years. You used that term earlier. Well, you can't fight that upstream battle like that, so you learn a lot of lessons. I'd like to know about numbers in the market right now.
Yeah, so speaking of inventory, you know, inventory is short. I just looked last night, just doing some research for the show, that in Branson and Hollister for a 3 to 4 bedroom house, right. So a 3 bedroom house, 2 car garage, 2 bath, between $200,000 and $400,000, in Branson and Hollister, there's only 36 homes for sale. And 9 of them haven't been built. So really 27 homes. And if I sent you the list, you'd be like, no, maybe. So we have a real shortage of houses. I was just looking over the different numbers between this year and last year. Obviously, you know, we had that. I mentioned earlier that the in 2020, 2021, 2022, it went up 30%, 30%, and then about 20%. The last year. Well, this year, you can't just price that, you know, $200,000 home and say, hey, it's going to be another 30%.
Right.
It has leveled out.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people know that. A lot of people feel it, but they're still wanting to get that high, high price. And but there are some segments that have went up. I had a conversation with a gentleman yesterday, and ran numbers for him 8 months ago, and the number today is actually a little bit better just because there's no inventory out there.
But you're giving him factual information that you've looked at and say, hey, you got to make the decision, but here's the facts.
Yep, and pricing a house isn't 100% science because we don't have identical homes here, so it's a factor between you know, what the closed properties are, the comparables, a little bit about what you're wanting to get out of it, more so what somebody's willing to pay for it.
Stay there a minute, because that's what happens. The guy says, it's a little higher than the market, and the guy says, hey, it's exactly what I want. It's all on one level. We've got a master bedroom, a place for the mother-in-law. That's what I want. Once you have that, the market goes out the window because the guy says, I'm willing to pay that for this. And that's where you're good at helping people with that.
Yep, absolutely. Navigate it all the time.
Now, we're about out of time. Would you come back with us in another 3 or 4 months and kind of bring us up to...
Yeah, and actually, I understand the real estate is going to be a segment. And an agent in our office came up with it, Carolyn Boss. She's a Branson School Board member and hopefully a sponsor sometime. But she's a great agent around here, and she thought that this would be a great segment to do. And I know it's my understanding Cole's going to come and do this with you too, and he's going to give you some great information, and maybe some of the bankers that we have, like Branson Bank, sure, helping understand the how the interest rates affect all this, because they definitely do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Where are we at with interest right now? Is it fairly okay? I mean, has it doubled in the last month?
Well, it doubled since last year, hence, you know, some of the slowdown. And, you know, over the overall market, we've sold, you know, about 30% less homes this year than what we sold last year.
5 and 6, is that where we're at?
No, we're about between 6.5% and 7% on a 30-year residential, that's a secondary market loan. Obviously, a commercial loan is going to be a little bit more. And, you know, there's some that are a little bit less, depending on who you are.
Yeah.
Six and a half, seven.
Well, let me tell you. I remember walking in, the banker said, I don't know how to tell you this, Charlie. Interest rates are 21%. Would you say it to me again?
Yeah, I remember 21%.
And he says, you need to sign here.
Hey, Jeff Reynolds, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for supporting the ministry. Keller Williams, where you're at. If you want to get a hold of him and you missed all those numbers, check on klfcradio.com. We'll get links to your website and let them know how they can get a hold of you. And thank you so much for being a friend. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Herb. It's great seeing you and the family.
And when Cole Courier comes, we won't lighten up on him.
No, at
all. God bless you, brother.
Thanks for coming over to Copy Run. We appreciate your business.
Absolutely.
All right,
was that self-serving or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, that was. Mm-hmm. That's what it was.
Where are you going now?
Because he's a good guy. I mean,
you have a coffee shop?
No.
Printing, coffee shop.
A printing company.
Okay.
Somebody came in the other day, Jeff, after he said I bought a coffee shop. They thought he meant coffee, and they asked for espressos. Hey, we'll see you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Well, Mr. Ingram, get busy. They're loading in today. Branson Market Days
this
on Friday. Kathy and I here tomorrow. Put all your trust in Jesus. Bye-bye.